Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That's interesting. He's actually correct.
In what way?
You do care about what people think, and Kaplan does not.
Well, I also care about I was thinking about it last night. Juan had this conversation with me, and he said, you know, you're really not a diva. Like, you really work hard on the show every day and try to be nice. I mean, I'm generally really nice to everybody. You don't think I'm nice to everybody?
Bergman, what do you think?
I do think, I was arguing this yesterday, I don't think he's the biggest diva here anymore. He may have used to been, but not anymore.
There was a time.
It's like, you know how when like Kobe and LeBron early in their careers were all defense, so they kept getting named all defense?
Yes.
You were such a diva when you were earlier in your career that you may be getting the carryover vote.
Yeah, I mean, I was a total a-hole earlier.
Did you see who's seventh in forwards in the NBA vote that came out today?
Off the top of my head, no.
I would give you 10 guesses and you wouldn't get it. Bergman, did you look at the list?
I have not looked at the list yet.
Okay, forwards. So think of DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan's number one.
Oh, he
for
is.
Guards
okay.
in the East. Yeah. The fans are getting it remarkably well. The guards are Steph Curry and Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah.
And up front, it's LeBron, Nikola Jokic, and I'd have to look, but it's like everybody's getting it right. But seventh in forwards, all-star in the West, Carmelo Anthony.
Really?
Because people love Melo.
Well, people also love names, right?
Right, right. Well,
he's a household name.
You're the biggest name in this argument. You're a bigger name than Kaplan, especially
but,
in this.
But market. Like, for example, we're having a show meeting today, and I just asked you a minute. We got an assignment. Go back and listen to a random hour of the show and sort of make notes about it, what you liked, what you didn't like, what was in it, all that stuff. Apparently, I'm the only person that did this.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I never read Amanda's actual emails because you shot down like the first two times. And when she said, how about Thursday at 4, I said, I'm in.
But yes. I mean, why would you read something from the boss? I mean, that's just weird.
Yeah,
who does that?
I'll tell you, the only person's emails that I ignore more are yours because you get like 20 schedule emails.
Oh, my God. The schedule over and over again.
I know you love this bit, but it's just a link now. It's just a link.
He makes a schedule and, okay, now Laura's going to be on the board
look at the
here
link.
And then Taylor's going to be doing this and then.
If you just knew what this schedule did to my life, you would not be doing this anymore.
So Sean McVay is supposed to join us in a minute. Apparently he ran behind and was going to do Sliwa and Travis and ended up on our show. So I'm excited to be able to talk to him. In the meantime, John, and he could call it any minute just so we could make a sharp left turn out of this.
Well, but wait a minute. If you want to, we can start with the Rams. Did you see that email I sent you this morning? I find this fascinating.
Is this the Bill Barnwell?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell.
All right, so Bill Barnwell knows as much about NFL football. I respect his articles and his stuff.
Me too. Super, really smart guy.
As much as anybody. Like there's an elite tier of NFL guys, like Albert Breer, Peter King, Bill Barnwell. Laura Rutledge, who might come on today, is in this group.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Schefter, those people. Barnwell is picking the Rams to run the table in the NFC. He has them beating – he has them going to the Super Bowl. Now, he has them losing to the Chiefs when he gets there. But how fun would that be
if the Rams went
on a Super Bowl run?
Get me there!
Well, see, this is different than what you were arguing yesterday. When I gave you the
what
the
was wheel, I arguing? I forget what I was arguing.
The wheel of questions, I said, you could win it, but then you'd be a losing team for 3 years. And you said – give it to me. I need to win it. And I said, or you can make it to the Super Bowl for 4 years but not win it. And you said,
but the only way you can win it is to get there.
Right.
I mean, I'd get to the Super Bowl against Kansas City. I'll take my chances.
Oh, well, if I told you right now you were going to get that Barnwell's prediction was 100% accurate.
Right.
That you're going to get to the Super Bowl and then lose to the Chiefs. Give me a sign up for that right now.
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Get
that
me to the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium.
That would be wins over the Cardinals, the Cowboys, maybe Tampa and Green Bay.
And
come
Green
on.
Bay, yeah.
Come on, bring it on. Now, they're going to need to – I mean, the Cardinals are no pushover. This game on Monday is – not easy. I mean, I think you think it might be a walk. I don't.
No. I don't think it's going to – look, I think all these games are tough. You know, it's a week-to-week league. This is one of those games where the defense is going to need to contain. Now, James Conner may or may not play, from what I understand, and DeAndre Hopkins is out. J.J. Watt has yet to make a decision, at least as of yesterday. So there's some injury issues for Arizona. But, no, I mean, every one of these games in the playoffs, it's going to come down to Matthew Stafford playing perfect. He's got to play perfect.
No, he doesn't. I disagree with that. I don't think he has to play perfect. He has to play smart. He has to not turn it over. He's an excellent player when he's not turning it over. All right? But you know what, Mace? The fans, and when McVay comes on, I think he'll back me up on this. The fans can actually play a role here. Kelly Stafford, Matt's wife, did a podcast over the past couple of
weeks. Yeah, we've actually got that sound. We've got what Kelly said. We should wait until after McVay to play it.
Why? It's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay, sure. We got Kelly Stafford.
So what she says is that there were so many Niner fans at the game on Sunday.
And there were a lot.
You made the argument that it was 50-50.
I still believe it was 50-50.
Her argument is, yeah, Laura, you think it was more Niner fans than Ram fans? You
were there. I was telling DeMarco it was like 75-25.
No way,
Kelly,
you had too many drinks at that game.
Well, wait, this might settle the argument. Kelly Stafford said she doesn't know what the breakdown was, but that the Niner fans were significantly louder, and it actually affected the game. Here's Kelly Stafford on a podcast.
I'm not going to lie. I have never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit, and there are a lot of good traveling teams there, but that was wild. Like, Matthew was on a silent count. And for those of you who don't know what that is, like, he can't call. It's like a when he hikes the ball, it's either a loud count or you can hear him. And that's what usually quarterbacks are on when they're at home, or a silent count. Matthew was on a silent count. Jimmy Garoppolo was not, who's the opposing quarterback. It was crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, but It made it very hard for us because I guess, you know, we weren't expecting to be on silent count.
Of course you're not expecting to be on a silent count.
No, not at all.
And she ended that with, hey, don't sell your tickets to Cardinal fans.
Yes.
Because if you do, that could affect it. Now, I know that a lot of people want to see SoFi, so a lot of visiting fans will go, Mace, I'm going to be.
But, I mean, the Niners fans also travel really well. The most opposing fans I saw this year. And I did this on Twitter, and people said, well, the Raiders during preseason. But, I mean, even I sold my preseason tickets. I didn't go to that game.
Well, here's the thing. If you would have sold your Niners tickets because the game meant so much more to them than it did to the Rams, you could have made a lot of money. Like, I have a friend of mine that's a Lakers season ticket holder, and he has unbelievable seats.
Yep.
So when a big opponent comes into town and he can sell his tickets, that'll pay for his playoff tickets. So he often does.
Yeah, exactly.
It. But now this is the playoffs. If you were to sell your tickets for Monday, you could
Shame on you.
No, you. Steve
Mason. Oh, yeah. No,
you
no
could make a fortune, but you would never do it. And I think what Kelly Stafford is pointing out is other season ticket holders shouldn't do it either. I know that it's coronavirus, but if you're going to sell your tickets – sell them to Ram fans. You can control who you sell it to. Don't just go for the highest.
How do you control? How do you sell it? How do you know if you're selling it to a Rams fan? Well, you're just putting it on. I mean, so I didn't want to go to the Seattle game because it was right before Christmas and I didn't want to bring COVID home to my mom.
Right.
We sold those tickets, but we don't know who bought them.
There's no way to tell. You can't tell area code. Or you just put them on the exchange?
No, you just put them on the exchange and whoever buys them, buys them.
You could sell them privately. Or even better, take care of one of your friends that's a Rams fan. It's a playoff game. That's the sacrifice you make.
Or even better, go to the game. How about that? Just go to the game. It's a playoff game.
I'm not going to tell anybody to go to a game during COVID. But if you're not going to go, take care of a friend of yours that you know is a Rams fan. It's that big of a game.
Just wear your mask the whole time.
You're
That's what I did. When I went to the 49ers game, we never took our masks off. We didn't eat or drink for 3.5 hours or whatever that was. And I feel like we were pretty protected. We had those hospital-grade masks. I mean, there is a way to go to the game and protect yourself from COVID. Now, I will say not a lot of people did. I mean, there was very low mask compliance. But if you're a Rams fan, go to the game.
Yeah, and if you don't feel comfortable going out, because I don't think you know what you're talking about. But the
My ass, I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right, I don't want to get in a whole discussion about COVID, but I was as careful as you can humanly be. I did 2 games in a mask. In a mask, I did a game. 2 of them. So did Trudell, and we both got it. So you absolutely don't know what you're talking about. But I don't want to get in a long discussion about
I disagree.
Well, I'm living proof that you can get it, and even though you wear a mask the whole time. But if you don't want to go, give your tickets to a Rams fan. I mean, it just seems to me like the right thing to do. This is a huge game. And if they lose, the season's over. So if Matt Stafford was going on a silent count, that's, you know, you want to avoid that at all costs. That's the whole point of home field advantage.
I'm trying to remember how Arizona traveled the first time. I don't think they had...
Let's ask Sean McVay. We got
yes.
Coach Sean McVay, nice enough to join us
hey,
now
Coach.
As he gets ready for the game Monday. Coach, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. We were just talking about Kelly Stafford was on a podcast, and she mentioned that the Niner fans really showed up. That was as loud as a visiting crowd that you ever have really faced in SoFi. And we're making a plea, Coach, to fans not to sell their tickets or to give them to Ram fans. In your opinion, how much of a difference did the crowd make on Sunday?
Well, I think, I'm not going to make any excuses. You know, we got to play with whatever the elements are. You love when our fans show up and they're cheering. You know, the Niners have a good fan base, and they definitely, had a good amount of people there. But that certainly isn't any excuse or any reason why we didn't find a way to finish that game.
So I don't want to necessarily dig back into that game too much, but I do have one question for you. And football people have argued with me on this, and I just want to hear it from you. End of regulation, we've got the lead. You elected to run the ball 3 times. Tell me about that thought process.
Yeah, the thought process was, Matthew had kind of dinged his toe up a little bit, and then really, you know, we had a great 3-play sequence defensively before that, and I figured that for us to make them use all 3 timeouts, you know, we're still trying to call runs that we thought could convert, but I wanted to ensure the clock was going to continue to run, force them to use all 3 timeouts, and felt very confident in the feel and the flow of the game that our defense would get a stop. Certainly you always learn from your decisions. Would you play it differently? Maybe would elect to have passed it in a kind of a safe where it's a completion or you take a sack and keep it running type of mindset and mentality, but I'm not afraid to admit where I can learn my lessons, but in the moment, you know, I felt like the thought process was sound and it didn't work out for us.
Here come the Cardinals. You played them at SoFi earlier in the season, and they kind of had their way with you, and then you went down and beat them in Arizona. Just out of curiosity, Coach, which tape do you put more stock in, the one where you struggled and lost at home or the one that you won in Arizona, which was the more recent game?
Yeah, I mean, they both matter. You got to take them in you have to take both games into account. They're a really good team, but, you know, the most recent films are usually the most beneficial because, you know, you go through injuries, you see some adaptions that teams make throughout the course of the year, whether that be personnel driven or schematically driven. And, you try to look at it all. We're very familiar with them as they are with us, but both games matter, but the most recent games, whether it be, you know, our game against them or their other games that they've played as of late, are the ones that are the most important.
Coach, unfortunately, Jordan Fuller got hurt and is lost for the rest of the year. You signed Eric Weddle, who hasn't played in a couple of years. What happened there? How did that come about?
Well, you know, we're going to miss Jordan a lot. He's been a great player, team captain, done such a great job, and he's got a really bright future. Eric Weddle is a special guy. He and I have a great relationship. He's a guy that he keeps himself in shape. He's, you know, if there's anybody that we felt like was equipped to come in on short notice, pick things up and be able to potentially contribute in any form or fashion, he's the guy. He also provides leadership perspective. He's familiar with a lot of the guys that are on this team. And I think, you know, when you hear Eric Weddle or when you feel his presence, you know, there's a lot of respect based on the resume that he built over the course of his career and just how he carries himself as a person. So we felt like that was going to be beneficial to get him in here and see how he's doing and what his role looks like this weekend is to be determined.
Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, is with us. Coach, you guys have run the ball so well, especially late in the season. I think Sony Michel was the leading rusher in the NFC in the month of December. But the Niners figured out a way in the second half to slow down the run game. When you look back at that tape, what happened with the running game second half on Sunday?
Yeah, it wasn't the second half. You know, they stopped it the first half as well. We didn't run the football very efficiently. I got a lot of respect for the 49ers. I have to do a better job of figuring out some ways to put our guys in some better spots. And then I believe and I know that we are capable of executing better. But you give the Niners credit, but it wasn't just the second half. We didn't really run the football well that whole game.
Coach Sean McVay is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN, as we look ahead to Monday night, Arizona versus the Rams in a big wild card game at SoFi Stadium. So Matthew Stafford has... You know, he's made some mistakes. He's thrown some interceptions. He has struggled a little bit. What are those conversations like with Matthew as you get ready for Monday night?
Yeah, he's also thrown 41 touchdown passes.
There you go.
You know, so I would say this. This guy's I have tremendous confidence in Matthew. You look at the way that he played. I thought he willed us at a chance to win the other day. We didn't connect on the one. And then, you know, there was a couple plays that they made, but that's a really good defense. I think he's played really well. I'm very confident in him leading the way, and can't wait to watch him go to work on Monday night.
Speaking of Monday night, Coach, the Cardinals have a lot of weapons. Kyler Murray is somebody who can beat you with his feet or beat you with his arm. No DeAndre Hopkins, but they've got speed on the outside with guys like A.J. Green. What concerns you the most, either side of the ball, about the Cardinals on Monday?
Yeah, they're a great team. You know, they're complete in all three phases. You know, we've got to play a really good game, you know, to give ourselves a chance to win. But you mentioned it. You know, Kyler's so dynamic, dangerous. They do a great job of getting their backs involved. They've run the football well. They've got great perimeter players. And then Cliff does a nice job mixing it. Vance Joseph the same, you know, way defensively. And they've got great playmakers on all three levels of the defense. And then they've got, you know, excellent return game. They've got really key impact players in the kicking game. Coach Rogers does a great job. So there's a reason why this team is in the playoffs. We're one of the best teams in the NFL, and we got to be ready to roll.
All right. Hey, listen, Coach, I will be there Monday night and really pumped up for Monday Night Football Wild Card Weekend, Rams versus Cardinals. Thanks a lot for coming on. Let's go get them on
Monday. Get them, Coach. Get them.
Let's go. Thanks, guys.
All right. There's Coach Sean McVay.
So I forgot that they had trouble running the ball in the first half.
Too, oh, my right? God. They were averaging like a yard a carry. It was brutal. And he really sort of bristled at my question about Matthew Stafford.
Well, again, it's the half. I thought it was a reasonable question from you. But it's what do you want to focus on? I'm sure at some point today on the show we'll get into Westbrook, who I thought
– Oh, yeah.
You know,
I think we're probably going to get into that next.
Okay, yeah. And Westbrook and Stafford, as you and I have talked about before, is kind of the same animal. It's what do you want to focus on, what they can do or what they can't do. So we'll get into that coming
up. Yeah, we'll get into that loss last night. The Lakers go to Sacramento and lose, and just a clank machine was Russell Westbrook last night. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, I feel bad. I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, well, you
listen to
it.
You, diva. Diva move.
Right? We could have gotten this thing over with.
Well, and I've already written down three notes from the thing I listened to last night. I guess I can stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
No, keep writing them. Keep writing your notes,
man.
So we can do this.
No,
can,
I'm not. I had three notes, two bad and one good, and now I'm crumpling them up.
Wow.
Do not crumple them up. We are still going to have the meeting at some point.
Well, pick a new hour.
Oh, man, see this right here?
If Amanda wants to do that, play it that way. I listened to 2 hours of the show last night because we got delayed on the tarmac.
Listen to you. You are now divaing on top of being a diva for the other thing.
Yeah. By the way, where the hell are you right now? I've lost track of where you even are.
I'm at my house. We flew home.
Oh, you flew home. Okay.
And then tomorrow we fly to Denver.
Okay, got it. Got it. And tomorrow Momo's filling in for John. And by the way, that big thing is going to happen where tonight, Sophie, my dog, we've got this treat thing set up, and she will go to one treat or another. She will pick each of the NFL wildcard playoff games to prove a dog is able to do this. And then Daniel, baby Daniel, Momo's baby Daniel, she's got it set up so that Daniel will pick the game. So it'll be Sophie versus Daniel versus, I think we're going to make it Bergman. Sophie versus Daniel versus Bergman.
I'm picking Sophie.
No, you pick Bergman.
No, I'm picking Sophie. I have more confidence in a dog than you.
Yeah, absolutely. So last night, Sacramento, we lose to a 16-27 Sacramento team, and Russell Westbrook, my God, 2-14 from the field, 0-5 from three. His job was to slow down De'Aaron Fox. He didn't do that. I mean, what a rough night. What a bad night for Russell Westbrook.
Well, I think I texted Greg. I can't remember if it was you or somebody else I was texting with. I thought that was Russ's worst game as a Laker. And as everyone knows, I'm president of the Russell Westbrook fan club, and everybody's expecting me to defend him. He didn't have a shot. At the end of the game, his decision-making was off. There was a situation where the Lakers were down four with a minute to go, and LeBron had just scored an easy basket. He had just basically taken the ball right to the rim. So you can make it a two-point game with a minute to go, which gives you a chance to win it. And Russ, who hasn't made a three, I don't know, I think he's 0 for his last 15 from three, shot a three. After the game, he said he didn't have
4 seconds left on the shot clock, and he really didn't have any choice.
But why not just give the ball to LeBron early in the shot clock and get out of his way? So
right.
I thought that was rough. But rather than blame Westbrook, I almost think you can – you can do that. You can say the reason they lost was Westbrook, but it's not true. The reason they lost, and I've been beating the drum for this all season, is that their defense is broken.
Terrible. It's an awful defense.
Mace, they gave up 70 points in the paint. 70. That's almost unheard of.
They were outscored 40-23 in the third quarter of that game.
And it's the second 40-point third quarter that they've given up. So you can, LeBron missed a lot of shots last night. You can focus on the offensive stuff. You can focus on the 2-for-14. You can focus on, like I just did, the shot Russ took at the end of the game. But you're ignoring the biggest problem on the team, and the one that if they don't fix, it's going to ruin everything. And that is their team defense.
But here's the thing, John, and I completely agree with you. In fact, there's a quote from Tyrese Halliburton from the Kings. He said, "We knew offensively we could get whatever we wanted."
And I think that was accurate.
He's speaking directly to the Lakers' defense. But, you can say it over and over again, defense, 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 but it's not getting fixed. It's obvious that defense is an issue, but there's mid no change in it. So we can say defense, defense, defense. They have to know that too. They're just not addressing it, or there's not any, so much of defense is effort. It's just not there a lot of the time.
And you can say Anthony Davis is their best defensive player and he's out, so when he comes back, things will change. But Mace, they were
play the hand dealt.
They were a 500 team when AD was playing.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's the biggest issue that faces the Lakers. I think that Michael and I had a long talk last night about what he would do, what Michael would do. And Michael's, even though LeBron has been almost inhuman at the five.
Unbelievable.
He's putting up just monster numbers offensively. Michael thinks they're too small on defense now, and without a shot blocker at the rim, I think they're going to play Dwight Howard anyway tomorrow night or Saturday night in Denver because of Jokic.
Yeah.
It's too bad because AD gives Jokic fits.
Yeah, yeah.
But he won't be there. But I think you got to play Dwight Howard and you got to leave him in as a rim protector. And if not, you've got to – I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I would almost ignore what the Laker players do on offense. If you get beat twice in a row defensively, I'd take you out. I mean, it's that big of a problem.
But I do think I think the Dwight thing makes total sense. You know, especially Saturday against Jokic. Jokic is just fantastic.
Well, and think about this trip we're taking too. I mean, we're going to run into
Embiid.
You're
going to run into Gobert.
Yeah.
Embiid.
Well, Gobert's in health and safety protocols. I don't know if he'll clear on. Yeah, which is weird because remember he was the one who started it all.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But this is a new strain. He's probably got Omicron in before he had Delta. But I don't know if he'll be there. But they still have Hassan Whiteside, who's a good rebounder. And I just, it's not like the Kings had their best center, Rashawn Holmes, was out. It's not size that's killing the Laker defense. It's penetration.
But it's rim protection.
Right.
Because they scored 70 points in the paint.
And a lot of it
they
from
were
guards.
Just finishing.
A lot of it, you know, from De'Aaron Fox. And what happens is when your defense breaks down off penetration, then you can whip it out to the three-point line, and that's where guys like Buddy Hield can kill you. And they lost that game last night because they gave up 70 points in the paint and didn't play defense.
Yep.
And if you want to blame Westbrook, like it seemed like everybody on my timeline did, you can. He was not good. It was probably his worst game as a Laker. But that's not why they lost. They lost because of the 70 points in the paint.
All right. I want to take some calls on this. If you're a Lakers fan, you saw last night. You know about Westbrook. You know about the defense. I'm spending too much time on Twitter right now. I don't know why I got sucked into this whirlpool of Twitter again. But, you know, I tweeted earlier, I just think, and I thought from the beginning, that the Westbrook trade was a mistake for this team. We've got so much money tied up in Westbrook, 44 this year and 47 next year. He's going to be impossible to move, and he's not the answer. He's not the answer. We could have built... Anyway, 877-710-ESPN, I think there are a lot of people that agree with me on that. And the defense, and what are you seeing? And here we are, we're 500 after we've just passed the halfway point of the season, right? I think
we're
42 games.
Yeah.
42 games, a really tough road trip is looming. 877-710-ESPN. Then we got Wheel of Questions. Plus, we heard from Jorge on audio. We've got actual audio of Jorge.
Good.
Who we love Laura. She's doing a fantastic job. Grateful. We'll be excited when Jorge gets back. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Yeah, well,
tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What did you think of the Sacramento Kings playing cold as ice last night over and over again for Westbrook?
Well, I'll say this. The Sacramento Kings, it was funny, but the Sacramento Kings are a desperate franchise who are the worst team in the league and have been for 15 years.
Yes.
They have to do stuff like that. That would never happen at a Laker game. The Lakers would not pick an opposing player, play cold as ice every time that he shoots, and then beat it over his head throughout the entirety of
but
the game.
But it is an entertainment product, as you say.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. And Russ laughed at it.
Thought it was funny. He said they've been doing it for years, and he said they haven't been doing it for years.
He goes, it's interesting they haven't been doing that for the first 14 years.
Got it.
So I had no problem with it. I think they need to do stuff like that for a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2005, but it wouldn't happen at Crypto.com Arena.
I love that you've immediately gotten into Crypto.com Arena.
Well, you heard why, right?
No, why?
I got an email.
Oh, you have to say it.
Yeah, every Laker broadcaster got an email. We can't call it by nickname. We have to call it Crypto.com Arena.
I don't like the name The Crypt.
I'm not allowed to say it.
Oh, yeah, I don't like it. I like Crypto.com Arena. I don't like calling it The Crypt because it sounds morbid.
Yeah, well, you'll never hear it from me.
Good. Good. All right, so
you want to take some calls here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do
it. All right, so I understand the frustration with Westbrook. Last night was Exhibit A of how...
And by the way, frustration with the whole team, the whole thing.
Right, but to me, it blaming everything on Westbrook is ignoring the fact that they just don't defend. Here's Brian in Oxnard. Hey, Brian, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So as a Laker fan and a huge Westbrook fan, I loved him when he was in OKC, grew up watching him and all that, and I was a huge fan. But now he doesn't seem to really fit in well. And I remember during the offseason, there was talk and rumors of us possibly getting Westbrook or us possibly getting CP3. And I remember I was kind of rooting for us to get Chris Paul because I felt like you can put him into any offense no matter what kind of game they play or run, who's the center, who's the guard, doesn't really matter. He can fit in because he's a very smart player, and he seems like very flexible as a point guard that can be a good floor general as well when LeBron is resting, as they hope to do with Westbrook. And it's kind of not working. Like, I'm going to read some numbers here. Against Atlanta, 9 points, 4 of 14 field goals. Against Memphis, 6 points, 2 of 12 field goals. And then we saw what happened last night, 8 points, 2 of 14 field goals. And I know, John, you're the leader of his fan club.
Right.
At what point does it get to the point where you're like, okay, he's not a good fit, it's not going to work? Like, how many more games do you give him until we can...
Brian, it's a good question, but Mason outlined the reasons why. You kind of have to make it work.
We kind of got no choice.
I asked Michael last night, in all honesty, and keep in mind, Russ is my favorite player. I said, would you consider bringing him off the bench? And Michael said, you can't do it. Said, yeah. You can't do that to a former MVP on his way to the Hall of Fame that's 33 years old. And I made the argument, Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony are going to the Hall of Fame, and they come off the bench. But he said, Russ would never accept it. You would lose him as a leader, and it would wreck your team even worse. So, I think part of the problem, Brian, is that he's really dialed back on his turnovers.
Yeah, I think he had one turnover last
night. Mace, I think it's like it's affected the other parts of his game. I think it's put him into a shooting slump. He's good at not getting too high or too low. Like, even when he plays great, he doesn't, like, beat his chest. He just says, well, that's kind of what I do. And when he plays bad, he says, well, I'll just keep working at it. Kendrick Perkins had an interesting take, guys, on NBA Today. Perk, who played with Russ in Oklahoma City, says he would move LeBron back to the point guard, put Dwight Howard into the game to give the Lakers some size, and then run pick and rolls with Russ, even play Russ at some five, to get him to the basket. You know, you've heard the line, shooters shoot.
Yeah.
Russ is an attacker.
Attackers, yeah, he's a finisher.
Right, attackers attack. So Perk would say, look, get rid of that bank shot you're shooting.
Yep.
And just come off of pick and rolls, and when they put you in one-on-one, use your size and your power.
And go to the rack.
And get to the rim. And hopefully they'll try some stuff like that.
Hey, Brian, thanks for the call. 877-710-ESPN. Now, I don't remember, by the way, do you remember any speculation about Chris Paul? I don't remember that as being a possibility.
Not after he went to Phoenix.
Right.
Before he went to Phoenix, there was probably some talk about
it. But Phoenix was not going to break up.
The three names that I heard that were being contemplated were DeMar DeRozan, Damian Lillard.
And Buddy Hield.
And Russ. And Buddy Hield was almost done. But, again, we've just spent, primarily me, I've just spent 2 or 3 minutes talking about Russ and what he should do on offense. I think we're missing the big picture here. At least Russ rebounds. he's the best rebounding guard in the league. Let me just ask you. You watch every game. So, yep. Greg, you watch every game. How do you fix the defense?
Sure do.
How do you fix the defense? What would you guys do?
Get different players.
I've said this before, John. I don't think they have players who are good at defense. I don't think the way the team is assembled, I don't think it's a group that is good at defense. Last year's roster, last year's group, they actually had players who were good at defense. This group doesn't. Okay. I mean, I don't know how you motivate guys to put more effort out there. I mean, when Tyrese Haliburton says we could get any shot we wanted, where's the pride? Where's the fight? Where's the, you know, defense is so much about effort.
Right. Well, and the other thing is there are you may be right that they don't have an elite defensive roster, but there are guys on the team who are better at defense than the guys who are out there. In other words, Dwight Howard and Trevor Ariza and even THT are better defenders. The problem is those guys are not going to score a lot of points. Do you take Malik Monk out, who at one point
it's hard to take him out.
Do you you can't take LeBron out. He's keeping in the games offensively. Do you take Melo? Melo didn't play last night at the bad back. Do you take Melo off the court? Do you put
I think you may play him less, yeah. I mean, I think the emphasis should be on defense. By the way, Austin Reeves is a nifty little defender, too.
I think Austin Reeves has earned himself major minutes, and I think I would start him.
I would not disagree with you at all.
Last night they started Ariza. Before that they were starting Stanley Johnson. You're 21-21. Start Austin Reeves.
Yeah, focus got to be defense. Focus got to be.
By the way,
I'm completely in agreement with you.
He can shoot.
Yeah. Austin Reeves, what a story. What a cool
undrafted
story that is.
Yeah, I mean, Rob Pelinka in the front office has taken some heat for the roster construction. You got to give him credit for that one. That kid was undrafted, and they called him the minute the draft was over and said, you got a chance to play minutes with us. Come to camp with us. And then they had the foresight to – originally he was on a two-way, and they said, this guy's too good to be in a two-way. And they gave him a regular contract.
Yeah.
And if they get their act together, I think that Austin Reeves is going to play. I think he's got a chance to be all rookie. Maybe not first team, but I think he's got a chance to be first or second team all rookie.
All right, a lot of calls online. We'll keep getting your calls in, 877-710-ESPN. We anticipate hearing from Laura Rutledge today from NFL Today and great NFL reporter for ESPN. She, during college bowl season, allowed her baby Reese to pick the helmets of each bowl game, and the baby Reese ended up going 14-3. So baby Reese, we should have baby Reese instead of the Fez.
No, well, baby Reese doesn't talk yet. Like, she talks a little, but she's like learning how to talk. She's like Maite. So we'll have Laura speak on her behalf.
Yes, exactly. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I forgot we've got Lakers tickets today. Lakers ticket Thursday.
Yeah, I'll do lie of the day today.
Yeah, you do
and then
it.
When I'm gone, you and Momo can pick who does it tomorrow.
I think we've got Rams tickets tomorrow. Isn't that right, Bergman?
Man, I would listen to this station even if I didn't. Yeah, Chris just said it.
Yes,
Rouse just said it. Yeah, he said, we got the tickets,
yo.
That was a direct quote from Chris. So it's Laker tickets today, Ram tickets tomorrow. So it'll be my lie of the day. At some point during the show, I will tell a lie. And at 3:30, if you can identify my lie, we'll give you the Laker tickets. Bergman, do you know what game they're for?
Yeah, for the Lakers Jazz.
Lakers Jazz.
Utah on Monday.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, so we'll do that. Coming up for you, make sure you pay attention to absolutely everything. Lakers last night lose at Sacramento. It was a disappointing game. Russell Westbrook, it was a clank fest. They were playing Cold as Ice by Foreigner for Russell Westbrook during that game.
Yeah, here it is. Every time they introduced him, Mace, and they said, tonight's Cold as Ice player is Russell Westbrook. So when the PA announcer goes, at guard, number 0, Russell Westbrook. They played this song and put up on the screen, Cold as Ice player of the game. And then every time he took a shot and it missed, they would play the hook from this song. They would just play, you're as cold as ice. And then the game would keep going. Now, Bergman found a tweet from a reporter. And the tweet says, as much fun as it was to see Russell Westbrook of the Lakers identified as the cold as ice player of the game, a source with the NBA tells me the bit used by the Kings will not be allowed to continue.
Hmm.
So I thought that might be the reaction.
It does come across like taunting.
Well, oh, come on.
Do you not think it comes across like taunting a guy?
I mean, it is a little bit, but like your word, 2022, that's soft.
It is soft, but this is a league decision, but it is soft. Russ didn't complain about it. He said, I thought it was cute.
Here's what I'll say. As somebody who's been going to games for 20 years, when you invite another team to come into your building, there you expect your fans to cheer hard for their own team. If you encourage them to boo or jab the other team, particularly
yes.
an individual player, it's not really what the NBA does.
Right, right.
When we go into another building, they are very accommodating. They're like, what can we do to make this easy on you guys? Like, they know, they understand that it takes two to tango. There is no game without an opponent.
Right.
So it's like, Mace, when you have a party.
Yeah.
This will be a good thing. You have some of the most eclectic, back before the pandemic, you have some of the most eclectic parties that there are. You invite everyone from your life, and so you'll see gay people, straight people, black people, white people. It looks like the United Nations at one of
yes.
your parties. You and I rib each other all the time. You wouldn't do it to a guest at one of your own parties, even
no,
if it was funny.
No, of course
funny.
Not. Course
even if
not.
It was funny.
Yeah.
And the cold as ice bit was funny. I don't think Russ cared. I just know.
It doesn't feel.
I know the Lakers would never do it.
It's classy.
Well, the Lakers just wouldn't do it to an opponent.
Do you want to actually hear the bit?
Sacramento.
Do you want to actually hear the bit that how it happened yesterday?
How they executed it? Sure.
Yes. Go ahead, Laura.
Maybe next
Never mind.
Time.
Yeah, next okay. another time.
But next time.
Here
yeah.
it is. You hear that in the background? So they just kept doing it. And he missed 12 shots. He was 2 of 14.
See, that would get in my head. I would not be able to survive that. That would totally get in my head.
You're not a professional athlete, and that's hilarious. So they should absolutely keep it, despite what the NBA says. But I think Russ responded to it too, Laura.
Yeah, he didn't care.
No, he didn't care. It would get in my head. Wouldn't it get in your head, Ireland?
Yeah, I will say this. I've been working for the Lakers long enough to know that somebody from the front office, if we did that as a bit on the radio, or if Spectrum did it as a bit on TV, or if the in-arena entertainment guys did something like that, we'd be told to knock it off.
You know, I was doing a minor league game years ago when I was traveling with the Toledo Mudhens and the AAA. And
yeah, and that's minor league baseball where they stunt all the time.
Jerry Daniels, the organist, got booted from the game because he kept playing Three Blind Mice over and over again because people didn't like the calls by the umpire.
What's the difference between what's the organist's name at Dieter Ruhle? What is
Dieter
the difference? Him, he does that stuff all the time. To
I don't think
players.
He plays. I don't think he plays Three Blind Mice.
He played he played Signs over and over again when they played
the
Houston
Astros.
Guys
came.
Oh, that's true. Well,
Okay, and also isn't it a little bit different if you're like a smaller team, like the Sacramento Kings doing that is totally different than
true.
The Los
what
Angeles
else do
Lakers
they have,
doing
really?
That.
Really? Yeah,
exactly.
What else
okay, so cowbells.
This would be the equivalent of it. Like, if we played, if every time one of their guys took a shot and missed, we rang a really loud cowbell over the PA system, or if we played the Green Acres theme, or if we did something, you know. If
the
we
Green
paid,
Acres theme is an awesome idea.
Right, you know, every time De'Aaron Fox misses a shot, because Phil Jackson famously called them a cow town.
Yeah, there's cow town.
It's just something that we wouldn't do. Not in the NBA. You might be able to get away with it in minor league baseball, but we wouldn't do it in the NBA. And Greg, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think it is funny.
It is funny.
I just know the NBA holds themselves to a little bit higher of a standard.
You know, we love a good bit.
Yeah.
We love a good bit around here.
Yeah. Do you think it's any different? This guy, Christian Berriman, just says, what about when the Lakers used to play hit the road jack when someone fouled out?
I think they still
do. Different?
No, but that guy's already been out. I mean, he's already out. It would be, what if you played it every time you had a foul? You know, like you came on and said, that's one, five more, and you hit the road, Jack.
That's,
you know,
one.
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, but they're not going to do it.
Laker girls.
I think they want the other team to feel welcome when they come in, and then you give it your best shot. And try.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I can't imagine Lawrence Tanter being involved in something
yeah,
like
he
that.
Wouldn't. He wouldn't. All right, a lot of
Laker
people
girls.
Online. Let's squeeze a couple of calls in here. Let's go to Alex in the South Bay. Hey, Alex, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Alex.
What's up, man?
Good. So I just wanted to, you know, I love Russ. I mean, he went to the same high school as my mom, losing her high school right there in Hawthorne,
sure.
So that's really cool. I'm a big fan of him. He was always cooking us when he was wearing a non-Laker jersey. But nonetheless, so I heard, John, you say, Michael was talking about you can bench him. This is a future Hall of Famer. You'll make things worse. You'll
you
lose him. And it's going
to
be
Michael's
more.
Michael's point was you can't bring him off the bench, Alex. You have to start him and, you know, treat him like an MVP Hall of Fame guy. And then if he's not playing well, if you want to take some away his minutes, you can. But you can't bring him off the bench in, like, as a rule. Michael thinks that that would never work.
Well, I completely disagree with Michael, because if I'm Frank Vogel, I got to look out for my butt too, because I might be on the hot seat. And if you're only giving me 8 points as a starter, well, there's going to come a point where they're going to choose either Russ or they're going to choose me, and they're going to look at how I was managing minutes, how I was managing rotation. So if I'm Frank Vogel, I have to look at that and go to Russ as a man and be like, listen, you may not say you're in a slump, but you're not producing out there. Let's just try to get you off the bench. Give us a spark, hopefully. And see what we can do. I mean, I don't think it would hurt to try, so I'm going to disagree with Michael on that.
Okay, so, Alex, let's play your situation out to the end. Who starts at point guard if you bench Russ?
Okay, let me see. So, I'm trying to think. I can't think of the roster off the top of my head, but...
Well, that's part of the issue.
At point,
is
LeBron!
The backup point guards are Austin Reeves and Talen Horton-Tucker.
But you move LeBron to the point guard.
You could move LeBron to the point, but then who... I guess a better question, a better way of phrasing was, who takes Russ's spot in the starting lineup?
Austin Reeves.
Well, I think Austin Reeves should get the spot that Stanley Johnson's been starting in. So the starting lineup right now, if I give Austin Reeves that spot, would be... LeBron, Russ, Reeves, Monk, and then, you know, it depends who you want to go with for a fifth starter.
Dwight.
I would start Dwight. But so who of those five would you take out, or who would you put in to replace Russ?
Avery Bradley.
You would put Avery Bradley
in? Avery Bradley, I agree.
Yeah, but see, Avery Bradley...
Plays defense.
Yeah, but you can bring him in off the bench.
He plays defense, yes. I agree with Mason.
Yeah, you can bring him in off the bench. Thanks for the call, Alex. I don't think you're the only Laker fan asking those questions.
I mean, at some point, don't you just stop shooting?
Well, I think
at some point, don't you say, you know what? I've clanked too many shots tonight. I'm gonna lay off. I'm not gonna take that three.
I think
at the end of the game,
I think 10 to 15 shots is reasonable for Russ. 10 to 15,
even if you're missing them all.
Well, it depends what type of shots you're taking. I don't think he needs to take 5 threes. Like he did last night. I want to see him attacking. But it's not like, you know, I want LeBron and AD to shoot 20 to 25 times. I want guys like Monk and Russ to shoot 10 to 15, and then everybody else can take what's left.
Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo tweets, completely disagree with Ireland on helping the away team. He says, that's the whole point of the game. As a Lakers fan, I love the pettiness of the Kings. As a fan, we need more pettiness.
Well, you can still be petty, Joey. You just don't have to play cold as ice every time the guy misses a shot. You know,
it is,
I mean?
Petty. It is very petty.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, hey, we heard from Jorge. Jorge has been down with COVID, and he's working through that, but he left a couple of voice messages for Bergman. We'll play those for you. Plus, Lakers ticket Thursday. Ireland is going to tell a lie at some point today. If you can figure it out, if you know what it is, and call it 3:30, you can win a pair of tickets to see Lakers Jazz on Monday at Crypto.com Arena. So keep paying attention. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.